Welcome back to another chapter of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by yours truly, Tolstoy Ackerman. You can find this fanfiction by clicking on the link in my profile, which will take you to all of my works on AO3, or by going to AO3 and searching for the title of this fic, or by searching for my pen name, Tolstoy Ackerman, two words. Standard disclaimer, I do not own Attack on Titan, I only own the original characters here within, and this is entirely non-for-profit. Thanks for coming back for another chapter. Without further ado, let's get into Chapter 25. Chapter 25, Sarashi. Several long hours after her arrival, Himmel heard the approaching scuffle of boots on stone. She had been dozing off, and when she opened her eyes, she saw none other than Hanji and Levi, both of whom looked utterly exhausted. "They didn't look at your neck?" Levi said immediately. Himmel started in surprise. Until now, each utterance had caused her throat to burn, and her voice had sounded as ripped as her flesh, but it no longer hurt, and the scratchiness in her throat was due to common thirst. She put her fingers to the wounds at the front and back of her neck, and was stunned to feel that while they hadn't fully closed, they had started healing from the inside. She had learned how to temper pain, but she had never had a wound heal unless she brought herself back. Panic, as her mind raced to understand what this meant, filled her head with clammy fog. Too much. There was entirely too much happening today. She would tell them this later. Himmel said smoothly, "I imagine they had their hands full. It's fine. Are you two my interrogators?" "Where the fuck are your shackles?" Levi demanded. Himmel slipped her hands back into them and clanked them diplomatically. Levi's brows pinched together as Hanji waved over a guard with a key to let the both of them in. They sat down on the cot across from Himmel. "Before I start this, I'm going to tell you that we've already gotten Eren's and Historia's accounts of today's events," Hanji said. Both of them had such deep dark circles under their eyes, they looked like if they blinked for too long, they'd slip away. Hanji had a pad of paper and a pen in hand, and in the light of the gas lamps, they scribbled down Himmel's story from the moment Reiner confessed his and Bertolt's identities to her arrival at Trost. She debated leaving out the part where she had wavered atop the armored, but decided it was best to be honest. The more she thought about it, she found the whole thing unnatural. "You told them you'd get them Annie and Eren, and you meant it?" Hanji said in disbelief. "Yeah, I honestly don't know what came over me. It was like when I touched the armored, I absorbed something. It burned to touch him, but Bertolt didn't seem to be affected. He's a shifter too, though, so maybe it's different for him. It almost seemed like I'd taken a little piece of Reiner's thoughts. When Erwin brought me back, I was completely myself again." Well, she thought to herself as she remembered letting Ymir go. She thought she was completely herself, but what if her decision not to fight Ymir hadn't entirely been her own? That was a chilling notion that she wasn't willing to voice. "But there's no way in hell you'd do that," Levi said. "You wouldn't do something that would lead to the destruction of the walls. All of your people are here." "Exactly. That's why I'm so confused about the whole thing. The reason I told Eren to think of me in a blue dress when I cut off his arms was because I wanted him to know that I was putting on an act, and only he would understand it. That was just an hour and a half before my thoughts got scrambled." "And how are they now?" Hanji asked. The two of them leveled her with piercing stares. "I'm with us. I had a couple of hours alone with Historia. I could have taken her to Shiganshina if I wanted, or I could have finished off Erwin, but obviously I did neither of those things." "But if you really do intend to smuggle Annie out..." "I don't, and I won't," Himmel said. "Besides, even if I wanted to, the logistics of it. I could get her to Trost, but I could never hope to get from Trost to Shiganshina with her." "How much thought did you give this?" Levi said, not bothering to hide his suspicion. "More than half of the time I'm awake, I'm imagining heists. But I didn't tell them that we had captured her, or even that we suspected her. They don't know we have her." "Actually, Armin told them we're torturing her," Hanji said. Himmel's eyebrows shot up into her curls. That certainly wasn't something she'd expect him to do, but good for him. "I don't get why the fuck you decided you needed to run with them in the first place," Levi said. "Reiner told us who he and Bertolt were out of the blue, and Bertolt was clearly caught off guard by it. It wasn't their plan, but both of them had to have sensed after seeing the monkey and Ymir's transformation that things were coming to a head. My first thought was that, if they transformed there was nothing stopping them from killing any number of us, destroying another segment of Rose, or both. Also, And perhaps there was a plan that I didn't know of, but I couldn't think of a way to contain them within the walls. They're both more resilient than the female. Even if they transformed in an underground cell like this, they would survive to destroy anything and everything around them. I thought if I could pull them away from the walls, I could buy time for a larger team of soldiers and potentially gather intel from them. Ymir siding with them in the end completely blindsided me. I thought with her and Eden we stood a fair chance. "They're saying we lost over 70 men," Levi said. "Ervin lost his arm. The Colossal and Armored both escaped with Ymir. Would you call this a success?" The gravity of her choices today struck her full on for the first time. Amidst the panicked decisions and fraught battlefield, and on the ride home with less and less blood to fuel her thoughts, she had been spared from the brunt of what she'd done today. But now, all the severed limbs and protruding bones crashed down upon her, slicing straight through to her tender insides. Her throat burned, and it had absolutely nothing to do with her wounds. Before Himmel could try to assemble her thoughts, Hanji said, "Levi, I know what you're saying, but I think you're being overly critical. Even with Bertolt's partial transformation, we couldn't see because of the steam. They could have damaged the walls or simply batted us right off and killed us all. Eden said that Reiner outed himself to them as well, and couple that with the split personalities in the forest that both of them confirmed, who could say what they would have done? Seeing how unstable they were, Himmel's decision to put distance between them and the walls doesn't seem unreasonable, nor does trying to fish for information from them. We may have been able to lock up Annie, but I don't think we have a way of containing either the Armored or Colossal. Himmel's right that even if they transformed underground, they would likely survive the collapse, so trying to talk it out of them when they let down their guards was probably our best option. And besides, if we had been able to chase after them, I would have led the attack, but today's fight proved that we would have been overwhelmed almost immediately. However, I was able to take a small team to Ragako Village and investigate instead, and that was valuable as well." Hanji was honest to a fault. Himmel knew that everything they were saying was their objective opinion and not something crafted to make her feel better. Despite this, every word rested heavily upon her, another hammer brought down to forge the truth that 70 good people had died and Ervin's future as the commander of the Survey Corps was uncertain. "If there are sanctions or punishments, I'll take them without complaint," she said. Levi couldn't mask his surprise quick enough. She saw his mouth drop open for the smallest of seconds before he went back to frowning. Something about that carved into her just as deep, no, even deeper, perhaps, than the knowledge that she had led men to their deaths. Did he think that she would try to run from this? That the moment she got into hot water upside, she would scurry back down into the Undercity where it was safe? Did he think she was that despicable? Now she wanted to sink into the Undercity, if only to vanish from his sight. "I can't make that decision," Hanji said. "We've never had something of this magnitude happen. I imagine it would probably fall to Ervin, but we had Garrison and MPs out there today. It'll probably have to be decided by Zachary." Her fuck-up was so huge they had no way to measure it. She had not only led fellow Survey Corps men to their deaths, she had inadvertently brought about the first bloodbath outside the walls that included all three branches of the military. Surely whatever brief camaraderie there had been between the Garrison, MPs, and Survey Corps had been splattered across the grass and left to decay under the summer sun. It truly had been Himmel's intention to be useful to everyone and to protect as many people as she could. However, intentions mattered very little compared to the shape they took in the real world. "What do we do with her in the meantime?" Levi said to Hanji. His voice pulled her out of her thoughts. "Her accounts matched Eden's and Historia's. She brought back Historia and Ervin. I think we can keep her on supervised release." He threw Himmel a disgruntled look. "Only if you get the idiot manacles she hasn't figured out." "Oh." Hanji leaned forward to peer closer at Himmel in the dim room. "How'd you do that, anyways?" Himmel turned around so they could see the metal restraints that bound her hands behind her, and slipped her hands out of the narrow metal rings. When she held them out closer to the two of them, they could see that bruises were blooming over the knuckles of her index fingers and thumbs. She had dislocated both of them so she could fold her hands into a small enough size to pass through the rings. "Didn't it hurt?" Hanji cried. "Well, yes, but I just have to put them back in place and they'll be fine," Himmel said. Levi took her hands into his rough ones and jammed her digits back before letting her hands slip out of his. However, Himmel recognized immediately that he hadn't done this out of concern or kindness. It was as though he had fallen into familiar patterns of days gone by, and when he realized that he was touching her, had immediately let go. So not only was he exhausted enough that he was relying on rote to function, he was also so upset with her that he didn't want to touch her. "Levi, will you be her guard?" He gave Hanji a murderous look, but didn't say no. Hanji called for the guards to bring a different style of manacle. This one had three cuffs, all connected by one long chain. One of the rings was clamped tightly around her left ankle, another around her left wrist, and the final one around Levi's right wrist. This meant that to break free of him, she would have to get out of not just one, but both of the rings, and Levi was much too fast and observant to allow that to happen. However, Himmel had been completely sincere when she'd said she would take whatever punishments were given. She wouldn't break free. Messing with the old pair had been a way to pass the time, and nothing more. They headed up the stairs, and Hanji bid them farewell before walking down a different hallway. "First we're going to the infirmary," Levi said. "I'd rather not," Himmel said. "Mel, did you lose every last fucking brain cell you have out there today? If you want to build a case that you were on our side, you need proof that you were injured by the enemy." She blinked in surprise. The only judge and jury in her life had always been Levi, and his vast knowledge of her meant that she seldom had to convince him of anything. As the Sabakia, she had always been consumed with thoughts of what impact her actions would have on those she was protecting. She had never had to think about what impact they would have on herself. After all, the MPs didn't go after her. She made it a point not to mess with any branch of the military, and anyone in the Undercity who tried to capture her didn't survive the attempt. The more vicious and unpredictable she was to her enemies, the less likely they were to trifle with her. The kinder she was to the citizens of the Undercity, the more they would trust her. Until now, she had lumped all of the upsiders, minus her informants, into the enemy category because of the general disdain and indifference that most of them showed her people in the Undercity. But from the moment she shook Ervin's hand in the Undercity nearly 4 years ago, she had not only joined Levi's world, but also aligned herself with the Upsiders. And not just those in the 104th, everyone in the Survey Corps and military and everyone that looked to them for protection. She had gone from serving the Undercity to serving all of humanity without realizing it. Vertigo struck her as the fact settled into the creases of her mind. As though the world center had suddenly shifted and all the gravity went with it, Himmel was relearning how to stand. Of course she needed to conduct herself in a way that not only benefited all of humanity, but also in a way that the important people of humanity could understand and support. Otherwise, she'd find herself in a noose between one blink and the next. The image of her standing at the gallows made her think of her neck again, and she said to Levi, "Before the doctor sees it, I need to reopen it." Levi couldn't believe what she'd just said. She said, It started healing. I don't know why. My body should heal about as fast as yours. The inner part is sealed. That's why my voice is normal again."
"And why didn't you bother to tell Hanji?"
"Because I don't know what it means." Levi gave her a hard look. "You'd sooner jump off the walls with the enemy than tell your friends about the one thing you want answers for. It doesn't make any sense." Under the bandana that covered her nose and mouth, she chewed on her lips. "If the enemy finds out I'm a monster, that's fine. But if someone I care about knows, I'll lose them."
"Did you lose me when I found out?"
Himmel felt electrocuted by his words. No. When she had shown him the truth of her existence, he had kissed her.
"Did Ervin or Hanji look disgusted when they found out?"
No. Both of them had been fascinated. She was still stricken dumb by his words, and all she could do was stare at him with her mouth open. Levi's eyes turned as iron as his grip on her wrist as he said, "People aren't born monsters, Mel. They're made, either by the people around them or by themselves, and right now it looks like you're doing your damnedest to turn yourself into one. Knock it off."
So scared to shine the light on all the dark things inside her, Himmel had spent her entire life trying to keep her sources of happiness as far away from her secrets as possible.
Her goal had been to keep them blissfully unaware of how horrid she was, but perhaps in doing so, she had made herself horrid in an entirely different way. She had never thought of it like that until now. Entirely too much had happened today for her to process this fully, though, and all she could manage to do was close her eyes in contrition. It was quiet between them for a couple moments until she heard the clank of the chains and the sound of a Titan blade clicking into an ODM gear handle. This late at night, there was no one roaming the hallways, but he pulled her into a little closet that had cleaning supplies in it. He softly felt around her neck for the wounds on the front and the back. "You were so fucking lucky with this," he muttered.
If it had been a couple millimeters in either direction, it would have either gotten your spine or your carotid. Get down on your knees so I can open it up again. Had it been anyone other than him, she would have refused. But even in this dark, cramped room where they could barely see each other, she trusted him. Himmel sank to the ground and stared straight ahead at him. He threaded his fingers through her mop of curls, knit them along the top of her scalp, and lined the blade up against the wound. "You know, I said I'd kill you when today was over," he said. "I accept IOUs," she said. She wished she could see his face. How furious was he with her now? His fingers flexed against her, and he said, "Hold your breath." She took in a lungful, and in the next moment he jabbed the sword straight through her neck, perforating it perfectly. There was enough blood in her stomach by now that she was dangerously close to vomiting, and she wished that she could just bring herself back and save herself from all the discomfort. Once again, her blood ran hot and copious down her, and Levi removed his blade carefully before finding a cloth on a shelf and wiping it clean. He pocketed the soiled towel, sheathed his sword, and got her to her feet before showing her to the sick room without a word. Himmel chanced to look at his face. His expression was blank, but for the deep fatigue etched all around his eyes, it seemed like he hadn't felt either pleasure or discomfort from what he'd done to her. He'd merely done what needed to be done. A doctor and a couple nurses dashed to her. Thankfully, it wasn't the same doctor that she had traumatized in Stohess the day before, because if the same person had seen her like this twice, she'd have no option other than to take them out. That went against what Levi had been lecturing her about a few minutes prior, she realized faintly, as they set about getting her curls out of the way, cleaning, disinfecting, and stitching. Levi sat on a nearby empty cot and watched them, his impatience given away by the way he tapped his good foot briskly against the leg of the bed. After a little over an hour, they deemed her sufficiently sewn up. The doctor wanted her to stay in the infirmary overnight, but Levi overrode him and dragged Himmel out of the room the instant they had finished bandaging her. Their next stop was the showers on the same floor, and the moment it was just the two of them in the little room, and one of her blades was in the door handles to effectively lock it, he dropped every last disguise he had wrapped around himself this long day. He slumped as the pain, anxiety, outrage, and betrayal tried to pull him into the earth. Guilt hit Himmel in full force, and she went to put a hand on Levi's arm, but he jerked out of her reach and shambled to a bench where he began getting undressed in frosty silence. His rejection stung, but she knew that she deserved much more than that, so she said nothing as she disrobed beside him. He took her out of the manacles so she could get her clothes off and have some freedom while she bathed, and they sat on stools under neighboring showerheads. The room was full of steam, the sound of hot water dashing itself on the stones, and the smell of wet iron as they rid themselves of the weight of the day. There were a lot of things she wanted to say to him, to reach across the chasm she'd gone and opened up between them with her actions, but she knew none of them would be good enough. So instead, once she had managed to clean herself, she got up from her stool to sit down on Levi's left, on the warm, damp stones. He gave her a terse look, and when she put her fingertips on his shin, his brow shot up in disbelief. "The fuck are you?" She ran her fingers down his calf to his foot and kneaded his sole with her thumb. The moment she applied the soft pressure, his reproach died, but he didn't relax. His entire body was tighter than a bowstring, but Himmel wasn't going to be intimidated. She continued her gentle ministrations, easing away each moment of turmoil stored in his flesh. "You manipulated me with that message," he said. "You could have told me what was going on 1,000 different ways, but you chose the only one that would make me see red." His words felt like acid dripped onto her heart, but she didn't attempt to shield herself from them. "I panicked. I wanted you there, and I knew that message would bring you to me. It was low, I know." She was working on the tender arch of his foot when he said, "Why?" Himmel paused to look up at him. He was watching her with a perplexed look. "Why did you want me out there?" "I got scared." "In the entire decade we were apart, not once did you contact me, no matter how in over your head you got." She went back to her work, focusing on her hands, his foot, and the warm water that rained down on the two of them. His eyes were much too piercing to withstand tonight. "Well, I don't think I've ever had a worse day than today. I got so overwhelmed I cried after Ymir dashed off to find Historia." Himmel wasn't trying to use her tears to make him pity her. He knew her rule never to cry during a job, and he understood immediately just how overcome she'd been today. You should have told someone exactly what you were doing, he sighed. I wish I had. The way I saw it, I only had seconds to get them away from the walls before they killed us or crashed a hole into them, or both. That message was the only thing I had time for. Besides, I didn't know where they'd take us or anything. They were quiet for a while longer, and now Himmel moved up to his ankle. She could feel him tense when she slid a firm thumb up from the top of his ankle along the peroneus brevis, the thin strip of muscle that connected the outer ankle to the knee. "It's this one?" she said. "One of them," he growled. "Today was really hard on your leg. Let me work on it." "I don't..." "I dragged you out there. I want to do this," she said, looking up to him so he could see the earnest desire in her big green eyes. He gritted his teeth and rolled his eyes, but didn't pull away from her. All he said was, "Don't crane your neck like that. You might rip the stitches." Before he could see just how happy he'd made her, she turned her attention back down to his leg, trying to sit up straight while just training her eyes downwards. As gently as possible, she probed the muscles around his left knee and the right for comparison and built an understanding of the damage. Nearly any muscle or tendon attached to his knee was inflamed to a worrying degree, and the only thing that would heal it was rest. She didn't know how bad it had been before he'd galloped on a horse and flew with ODM gear to slay titans today, but she had no doubt that she had complicated his injury. "I'm planning to make you soft as mud by the end of this," she said. "I don't want to undo it by having you walk back up to your quarters." "I don't have a room here. I just have a spare soldier's room on the second floor." "You want to do it here or there? You should be keeping this leg cool, not hot. It'll make the swelling worse." He leaned forward to twist the faucet in response. Water made his dark hair glossy, and it dripped down into his face until he ran his fingers through it to part it. Even when he was so tired that only his rage kept his eyes from closing, he was stunning. She wished... It was silly, because she had a hand on his calf right now, and they were nude before one another, but... She wished she could touch him. She wanted to put her arms around him, have him embrace her back, and kiss him until the sun rose because she was bursting with joy that they had both made it back to the walls in one piece. However, she was well aware how upset he was with her, and she'd rather throw herself off the walls than manipulate him again. So she picked herself up, had him put an arm over her shoulder, and they got dried and dressed in some changes of plain trousers and blouses that were stocked in the corner of the room. She gathered up their dirty clothes and gear, he reattached the shackles to them, and then she clamped a hand over his wrist and forced him to lean on her again as he led the way to the room they'd share for the night, much to his disgruntlement. However, it was such an odd hour that no one saw them, so his need to protect his pride was unfounded. In the little room that was the same as all the other soldiers' quarters, she placed their stuff on the little desk before having him get into bed and lay down. The curtains were drawn, and it was entirely dark in the room. Himmel could only make out the glint of his sharp obsidian eyes and the faint glow of his fair skin. He looked almost otherworldly. Again, now wasn't the time for mooning. He sat up against the headboard, even though she told him he could lie down. For whatever reason, he was fighting back sleep. Himmel positioned herself between his legs at his feet and picked back up from his foot, making sure none of her work had been undone there by the short walk, and then began making her way up slowly and carefully, teasing out the soreness and inflammation to make room for much-needed peace. Levi said nothing, but she could feel his eyes on her. By the time she reached his knee, she had finally mustered the courage to ask him the question that had been on her mind since the moment she'd reached Trost. "How's Ervin?" He took in a breath of air. It was the most he'd moved since they'd gotten into bed. His tone was darker than the night that enshrouded them. "When that titan snatched him, it was me who got him back and cut off the arm. Emptied out the black powder from a flare gun and cauterized what I could and cinched his arm. They say he'll be fine with rest. The problems come after that." Inwardly, Himmel sighed in partial relief. Leave it to Levi to know the best way to handle that wound out on the field, and to take care of it as quickly as possible. No doubt it was his swift decisions that had kept Ervin alive today. She wasn't able to be entirely positive about the situation, though. Just as Levi said, there was still the huge question of how Ervin intended to head the Survey Corps when he was unable to kill a Titan any longer, and what men would think of having to follow a leader that couldn't put himself on the front line, even if he wanted to. But on top of that concern was an even bigger, selfish one, like gray film on a lake. Now she was very gently tending to all the sensitive tendons and muscles that started in the knee and went up the thigh, coaxing them into relaxing as much as possible. She asked, "Do you blame me for what happened to Ervin?" "I blame you both," he said, voice acrid. "You're the reason he and the rest of the soldiers went out there, but he's got a martyr streak in him, too." She wilted a little under his words, despite herself. "When I saw what you'd written on the wall, I thought it meant you were going to do a long con and go back to their hometown, and I knew you wouldn't make it back from there. But then I heard your voice in my head, repeating the words you told me when you blew up the 15 safe houses, that you'd done it all to keep me safe. And that made me wonder if maybe that was what you meant by that note. What if it wasn't an explanation, but a goodbye? Either way, I knew that I'd never see you again unless I hauled your ass back here. And when I told Ervin what it meant, what do you think he did? The bastard smiled. He thought you were fucking brilliant. He got garrison and MP soldiers to join us. First time I've ever seen that happen. And he led them out there to act as bait to bring a whole horde of Titans towards the armored. You know what I thought when I saw him doing that? You know the first thing that popped into my head when I saw a Titan bite his arm and run with him as he kept screaming orders at the men?" Himmel's fingers froze against his leg. His voice had turned as cold and biting as February gales, and when she dared to meet his eyes, his dark irises cut her into hers like ice flecks driven into flesh by cruel mountain winds. "I thought, I must be cursed to have let these two into my life. You'll be the deaths of yourselves, and then the death of me." She didn't know what to say. His words had stripped away all of the pretty little pretenses and justifications she garbed herself in, leaving her raw and vulnerable to the truth. There had been many sincere desires darting through her head as she made decisions today. The desire to keep everyone in the 104th safe, the desire to know who she was, the desire to keep the walls and everyone in them away from harm, the brief desire to help Reiner and Bertolt, and, under all of that, the desire bordering on mania to keep Levi safe for another day. What she had failed to take into consideration today, and all the days before, was that even if her actions did result in Levi and her people living longer, it didn't mean that they were happy. How many cuts had she gouged into his worry-worn heart by doing something reckless over the years? How many times had she justified her actions by claiming they were for him, when really they were all guided by her selfish need to keep him, regardless of how much anxiety or anger or hurt it left him to reckon with? Almost as if her body wanted to let her sample the suffering she had put him through, her chest grew tight and her stomach full of stone. There was nothing she could do to erase the wounds she'd already given him. "I've been greedy and selfish, and it's made you miserable," she admitted. Himmel knew that this was where an apology usually came, but Levi was different. Sorry was a word without shape, thrown about so casually it lost all meaning. He didn't believe in empty gestures or hollow phrases. He wanted words that were in time with their heartbeats, and actions that he could hold in his hands and weigh. That was why her acknowledgement of her misdeeds meant far more to him than any pithy promise to change, and why he relaxed against the headboard as years of simmering frustration seeped out of him. It wasn't enough for him to forgive her. Levi wasn't the type to forgive, nor was he the type to make exceptions. However, it was enough for him to let her back into his heart once again. Himmel turned her attention back to his leg. "This one might hurt a little," she warned him, and then began working on the long muscle on the outside of his thigh that connected to his knee. He groaned through clenched teeth, and looking for some way to distract him, she said, "This is the vastus lateralis. It connects your femur to your patella, and it's the strongest of the quadriceps." "How the fuck do you know all this?" he ground out, the chains between them rustling softly as he made a fist. "You always made excuses before." She had sought a distraction, certainly, but this wasn't it. Still, she was desperate to continue winning back his trust however she could, and if that meant peeling away all the seals she'd put over those cursed days, so be it. Her breath trembled, and it made her want to rip out her stitches to reach in and strangle her traitorous lungs. A few of the clients were aspiring doctors. The cost for a cadaver and for... me... was the same. Obviously, a body that could tell you what they were feeling when they poked around was preferable. And they'd talk, and I'd remember words. "You could barely speak when we met." God, she didn't want to talk about this. If she could find a way to give herself amnesia, she would do it in an instant. But for him, she would wound herself 100,000 times if he desired it. She said, "I didn't know how to make sentences, and I didn't know about much outside of that room. But I knew all the words for the things in the room, and I guess that includes the parts of me." Levi was quiet for a little. Now Himmel was nearly to the top of the muscle in question, and she was planning which she'd go for next, trying not to think about anything other than him and the now. "Did you ever have any clients that made you feel good?" Levi asked. Himmel stopped and looked up at him, an odd mixture of confusion and horror coiling around her guts. "My mom sold her body. Not like you did, of course. But she had some Johns that made her laugh, and there were some that just wanted someone to talk to. She was a good listener. Did you have any like that?" A vicious little voice in her head said that this was Levi's way of getting back at her. Putting a blade through her neck hadn't slaked his rage. Now he was clawing at all the tender things she hid in the sunless crags of her heart, not caring what he ripped in the process. But when she looked into his eyes, there was no sadistic glee there, no fiery retribution. He was staring at her with nothing but a pure yearning to understand her. She bit down on her lip and began massaging a different muscle, working her way up from the knee once more. The woman threw out the ones that didn't want to do things. I think she was scared they were either perverts or they wanted to kidnap me. But one client taught me my letters, and another, when he was finished, he'd show me this picture book with drawings of the sky and grass and birds and the sun, and I liked that. He showed me the things that were outside the room, things I wanted to see. It was stupid. She was stupid. But somehow, talking about the nice ones was so much harder than talking about the worst. Maybe it was because hate was a straightforward and base emotion, but the feelings that these particular clients evoked in her were too thorny to approach. Her throat was aching suddenly, and her eyes pinched and stung. Swiftly, not even fully aware of what she was saying, she explained, "This is the rectus femoris. They call the shape fusiform, which is just a fancy way to say it looks like yarn on a spindle, bulging in the middle and tapering out on either end. It's another one of the quads and—" Mel. Stop. Suddenly, his hands were on top of hers, on his thigh, and he was weaving his finger with hers, and she realized that her entire body had tremors. She was the fucking Sabakia. She owned all of the Undercity. She had killed nearly 200 Titans solo. She had killed 100 times as many men, easily. So why was it that just a few words could reduce her to that 7-year-old girl who didn't understand why every day had to hurt? "I shouldn't have asked," Levi said. She couldn't look at him. She couldn't look at anything. Even when she closed her eyes, there were ghosts dancing on the stage of the backs of her eyelids. "Forget the leg," he said, and pulled her to him. She was so fucking pathetic. She hated the way a little whimper broke out of her chest, and the way her arms went around his shoulders immediately, the way she pressed against him in the wretched hope that he could soak up all the things that plagued her and take them far away, the way her breath stuttered, the way he took pity on her. Levi pulled her close in the circle of his strong arms, and he kept one hand on the small of her back as he carted through her long, damp curls. She hooked her chin over his shoulder and breathed in his scent of soap and the spring night air, trying to calm herself. "I won't ask again," he whispered. "No," Himmel said, surprised by the surge of self-loathing she felt at his words. "I don't want to hide things from you anymore, and if I can't talk about it, they still have power over me." He was quiet for a moment as he thought over her words, and then he brushed aside a curtain of curls to rest his lips against her temple. "I won't ask again tonight," he amended. "Fetch us a glass of water, and let's get some sleep." There. He broke right through all of the dark things that scratched her, shattered them to dust by bringing her back to normality. She found herself giving a happy huff against him, and she leaned into him further for a moment before disentangling herself and going to the little pitcher on the desk across from the bed. There was only one cup, so she poured and let him drink first. She returned the cup to the desk and got in bed with him. He was lying on his right side now, and she lay chest to chest with him. The manacle clanked between them, and she wished they could get rid of it. She found it embarrassing, but she knew they had to keep up pretenses. "Do you have anywhere to be in the morning?" she asked. "Not that I know of. Ervin will send for me at some point, though, and there's your shit to take care of, too." Himmel nestled against his strong chest, rubbed her nose against the rough cotton of the borrowed shirt that didn't smell like him yet, and finally allowed her body to relax. She melted into his hold, and he pressed a kiss onto the crown of her curls as he slid his hand up the back of her shirt to rest directly against her bare flesh between her shoulder blades. So much had happened, and in her head churned thousands of questions and qualms, but just as it always had, Levi's touch chased them all away, and before she knew it, she drifted off beside him. And thus closes the chapter. Thank you so much for listening. A couple notes. So first off, this chapter title, Sarashi, this is not English, this is Japanese. So I'm actually bilingual, and most of my thoughts are kind of half Japanese, half English. And whenever I'm looking for a chapter title, I'm always looking for something that hints at the key events of the chapter. And for whatever reason, the word Sarashi is what came to me. And I tried to find a suitable word in English, but I couldn't, so I just stuck with it. So Sarashi has several different meanings. And first off, it's bleached cotton. So if you've ever watched anime from that has like samurai and whatever, there are women who, rather than wearing a bra, they like bind their breasts with strips of cotton, like bandages, and that's Sarashi. Sarashi can also mean to dox someone or making someone's private information public. It can also mean public humiliation, which used to be a punishment during like 400 years ago. And as a verb, sarasu can mean to expose to the sun, to public, to danger, etc. So being as this whole chapter is about the exposure of Himmel to the reality of her actions and the consequences of her actions, I thought it was a fitting title. So yeah. And just one final note. So towards the end of the chapter, Himmel says something along the lines of, "If I can't talk about it, my abusers still have power over me." And I just want to say that survivors of abuse deal with their experiences in all manners of ways, and while this may be the way that Himmel has chosen to deal with it, that doesn't mean that it's the best or only way. I just wanted to make it clear that I don't believe survivors who choose not to speak of it are weak or anything like that. So just wanted to put that little disclaimer out there. But yeah, alright. Thanks again for listening. Hopefully I'll have the next chapter up soon. And take care. Bye-bye.